Sekulow, Washington, D.C., the Benghazi hearing featuring three whistleblowers who believe that the U.S. government did not do what it could to protect those at our embassy in Benghazi. It begins. We'll talk about it today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C.
Shame, boatloads of shame.
Jay Sekulow Live.
Day after day. More of the same.
Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior along with the protest that took place at our embassy in Cairo yesterday as a response to inflammatory material posted on the internet.
We can all condemn this reprehensible video.
We find the video that has been so offensive to Muslims to be disgusting and reprehensible.
Although we had nothing to do with the video, we find it offensive. It's not representative of America's views.
It was a crude and disgusting video, sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world. Now, I have made it clear that the United States government had nothing to do with this video.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The world that's filled with guilt and overwhelming shame.
The hearing will come to order. On September 11th, 2012, four Americans were murdered by terrorists. It was the 11th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks on New York and Washington. Recognizing that the witnesses before us are actual experts on what really happened before, during, and after the Benghazi attacks, these witnesses deserve to be heard.
Day after day, more of the same.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Blame, please lift.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are going to be taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The Benghazi hearings begin. Mark Thompson, who is the Assistant Secretary for Counterterrorism at the State Department, is already testifying at the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee. Let's take a listen. This is live Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives.
Chairman, ranking member, members of the committee.
And please pull your microphone a little closer. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity to tell a story. As the chairman indicated, I came to the department 16 and a half years ago as a Marine. Transitioned and have been on the activities that he has already described. The night that I was involved in this incident, I was at my desk at the end of the day when the first reports came in that indicated that we had an attack going on at our diplomatic facility in Benghazi. In that facility, we knew we had our ambassador and we had his security personnel. Later, when I heard that the situation had evolved to them going to a safe haven and then the fact that we could not find the ambassador, I alerted my leadership, indicating that we needed to go forward and consider the deployment of the Foreign Emergency Support Team. That particular team is an interagency team. It's been represented as something that the State Department deploys. It does not. The Deputies Committee of the National Security Council deploys that organization. But I wanted that considered. I notified the White House of my idea. They indicated that meetings had already taken place that evening that had taken FEST out of the menu of options.
All right, folks, there's part one. They were asked to deploy this emergency team, and the White House, the director of the counterterrorism at State and the White House had already said, nope, sorry, not an option. This is just the beginning of the Benghazi hearings. Over 75,000 people have signed our petition to get the truth on Benghazi. If you want to join that petition, this is a great day to do it. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Stand with the congressman asking the tough questions.
Sabotage. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. 4 months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, Deputy Chief of Mission Hicks right now, Gregory Hicks, who is the number two to Ambassador Chris Stevens, who was killed that night in Benghazi. He is testifying now. We're going to go to the live feed just to take a listen, because the Benghazi hearings are ongoing, Capitol Hill. They literally, the witnesses started testifying as we started the show at noon Eastern time today. It looks like Hicks, Gregory Hicks, is finishing up. So we'll go to the next witness in just a moment at the hearing. I want to encourage you folks, this is a time where you can call and add your name to our petition to get to the truth on Benghazi. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Let's go right to the hearing. We've got someone else testifying now, Nordstrom, who I think is one of the heads of security, diplomatic security, Eric Nordstrom. He is the supervisory special agent with the U.S. State Department. Let's go and listen to his testimony now. This is live.
In preparation for my next assignment. As Chairman Eisen noted, I've served in federal law enforcement since January 1996, first as a customs inspector, before joining the U.S. Department of State. I've served in domestic and overseas postings, including Washington, D.C., Honduras, Ethiopia, India, and most recently, the regional security officer at the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli. All of those assignments have been assignments in which I've faced the threat of criminal or terrorist attacks. I held the last position as RSO from September 21st, 2011, until July 26, 2012. As the regional security officer, or RSO, at the U.S. Embassy in Tripoli, I served as the principal security advisor to U.S. Ambassadors Eugene Kretz and Chris Stevens on security and law enforcement matters. I want to thank the committee again for the opportunity to appear, provide further testimony in support of your inquiry into the tragic events of September 11th, 2012. I would also like to thank the committee for your continued efforts in investigating all the details and all the decisions related to the attack on our diplomatic facility. Specifically, the committee's labors to uncover what happened prior, during, and after the attack matter. It matters to me personally, and it matters to my colleagues to my colleagues at the Department of State. It matters to the American public for whom we serve. And most importantly, excuse me, it matters to the friends and family of Ambassador Stevens, Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods, who were murdered on September 11th, 2012. In addition to my testimony before this committee in October 2012, I also met with the FBI, Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, the Department's Accountability Review Board, and I've discussed my experiences in Libya with all of them. I'm proud of the work that our team accomplished in Libya under extraordinarily difficult circumstances. The protection of our nation's diplomats, our embassies and consulates, and the work produced there is deserving of the time that this committee, other congressional committees, and the Accountability Review Board, and no doubt future review efforts, will invest in making sure that we get this process right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for the opportunity to appear before you today. I stand ready to answer any questions that you want.
There you go. Those are the opening remarks. Pretty remarkable. Let me go to David French, a senior counsel with the ACLJ, veteran of the Iraq War. And David, just your first reaction to this testimony. I think we saw from Eric Nordstrom right there the seriousness that these witnesses, I mean, who are not smiling and cheerful, but are stoic and or emotional already. And this is before the questioning has begun.
That was very powerful. And I tell you what, it echoes what I'm hearing from service members around the country, people who are sending me messages after we write about and talk about what happened in Benghazi. The sense of anguish and betrayal that these Americans were left behind to fight for their lives, outgunned by a ragtag terrorist militia, is just unbelievable. And it's human lives were lost when they shouldn't have been lost. And what his testimony just indicated is that that matters. At what point, what difference does it make now? Former Secretary Clinton, that's the difference it makes. These were American lives that should not have been lost. And that testimony illustrates the depth of the pain and the anger at what happened.
You know, Than, you've been following this closely, and we saw the ranking member, Cummings, his opening remarks, compared this to some kind of conspiracy. And there is not a conspiracy here. We know that assets weren't called in. That's not making up some possible government story. They were not. You know, the testimony has been very clear. These don't sound like conspiracy theorists. They're reporting the facts. They call the White House. The White House has ruled it out as an option, the rapid response team. Where do you think this goes from here? I mean, today, these seem like the bombshells that we're talking about dropping are already dropping. These people are putting up, you know, their careers here. These are people who have spent their whole life in the State Department. Do you think the Democrats on this committee are going to get over the partisanship issue, or is that their excuse for not getting on board here to get to the truth?
I think today might be the end of that, Jordan. And I actually, the testimony that you referenced from Ranking Member Elijah Cummings is why I think that. I mean, up until this point, this has been a political football. They have accused Daryl Issa of moving forward with political motivations. And Elijah Cummings said that right at the beginning of this hearing. He said that the chairman is accusing the administration of a conspiracy to withhold military assets. What you're going to hear from these witnesses, what we have already begun hearing, is that this is not a conspiracy. This is just fact, Jordan. This is a decision that the administration made to not send in military assets. You can agree with it or you can disagree with it, but it is not a conspiracy. It is a fact, and it was a decision that was made by this administration when that consulate was under attack.
All right, folks, let's take a listen again. We've got, again, Gregory Hicks testifying where he was during the attack, what happened. Let's take a listen.
Or thought that perhaps the ambassador had tried to call me to relay the same message. And I found two missed calls on the phone, one from the ambassador's phone, one from a phone number I didn't recognize. And I punched the phone number I didn't recognize, and I got the ambassador on the other end. And he said, "Greg, we're under attack." And I was walking out of the villa on my way to the Tactical Operations Center because I knew we would all have to gather there to mobilize or try to mobilize a response. And it was also a bad cell phone night in Tripoli. Connections were weak. And I said, okay, and the line cut. As I walked to the Tactical Operations Center, I tried to reach back on both of the numbers, the unknown number and the ambassador's personal number, and got no response. When I got to the Tactical Operations Center, I told people that the ambassador, that I had just talked to the ambassador and what he said. At the time, John Martinek was on the phone with Alec Henderson in Benghazi, the RSO there. And I asked one of our DS agents, what number did I reach Ambassador Stevens on? And he said, oh, that's Scott Wicklund's telephone. Scott Wicklund was Ambassador Stevens' agent in charge, his personal escort for that night, and was with him in the villa during the attack. So I asked, when John Martinek got off the telephone, I asked him what was going on, and he said that the consulate had been breached and there were at least 20 hostile individuals armed in the compound at the time.
Yeah, because you may have remember Hillary Clinton talking about a group of people who just wanted to kill Americans that night. 20 armed hostiles breaching the U.S. consulate. I mean, this was not three guys who got upset at America that night and said, well, let's kill Americans because of YouTube. Remember, that's what the administration said first. As you're listening to this, remember, our government, the U.S. government, came out and said that the reason why this all happened was because of a YouTube video, and it was a group of people spontaneously upset because of that video. So spontaneous that there were 20 of them plus, and they were armed, and it was a siege, and that the words "under attack" were used. You know, this is not street violence. This is not gang violence. This is not a random acts of violence or three people. A group of guys said, let's go kill Americans tonight. How many groups of 20 guys do you see walking around streets anywhere in the world? Okay, 20 guys armed, by the way. Let's add that. Folks, we need you to take a stand. We're going to take some of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But we want you to join our petition today. Call 877-989-2255 to get the truth on Benghazi. These members of Congress, Chairman Issa, others who are there demanding the truth. These whistleblowers risking a lot to give the truth. Call now, 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
All right, folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to take some of your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. The Benghazi hearings, though, happening. Gregory Hicks is talking about this now. We will go back and forth between the hearing as it's live, and right to the phones we go. Let's start with those who have been holding on. Ronald, Colorado, line two. Ronald, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Ronald, you're on with us.
How are you doing?
We're good. You have a question?
I'm wondering, what is President Obama trying to duck and dodge?
I think, Ronald, honestly, because of what we're hearing right now, let me go to Gregory Hicks again. He is testifying. This is powerful. He was the number two in Libya for the State Department, so he became number one when Chris Stevens was killed, and he is testifying now. Let's take a listen.
The attackers also went into another building. They were unable to enter the Tactical Operations Center in Benghazi because of improvements to that facility that had been made. Scott attempted to lead the ambassador and Sean Smith out of the burning building. He managed to make it out. He tried repeatedly to go back in to try to rescue Sean and the ambassador, but had to stop due to exposure to smoke. The response team from the annex in Benghazi, six individuals, drove the attackers out of our compound and secured it temporarily. There have been estimates as high as 60 attackers were in the compound at one particular time.
Again, I'm going to jump in right there, Gregory Hicks. 60 attackers. You're talking a very much a planned terror attack. Words that were not used by the president when this initially happened. You know, words that he would not use, call this a terrorist attack. Remember, this was all part of the presidential election. It's taking this long to get to the truth. David French, David, I mean, now it's gone from 20 to 60 in this hearing. First, the initial 20 that penetrated the kind of first level of security at our compound there. And now we're hearing, you know, at some points we had six guys. I mean, I'm sure they're highly trained from our annex, which was a CIA building. Six guys fighting 60 plus inside. I mean, that's what you saw. You're not talking about around, just inside the complex. David, when you hear about that, you think about Hillary Clinton saying group of guys wanting to go kill some Americans tonight. I mean, what does this make you? Just your reaction.
That statement was garbage from the beginning, and she knew it was garbage when she said it. I mean, look, she was trying to distract from the reality of the situation, which was unbelievable negligence. Let's recall for a moment that the main force charged with guarding an American ambassador and a U.S. diplomatic compound at that point was an unpaid Libyan militia. It wasn't our own forces. It wasn't our own troops. It was an unpaid Libyan militia. And when the State Department says they called their quick reaction team, you know who their quick reaction team was? That militia. And why was that the only defense there or the main defense there? Because they had pulled out security even as the threat was escalating. So they knew it was an attack. They had left that compound virtually undefended. And then she's trying to distract from that.
You know, folks, I want to go back to the hearings in a moment. I want to, again, urge you to join our petition. We've had, this is just since Monday, so in 48 hours, over 75,000 people join our petition to get to the truth here on Benghazi, to hold the administration responsible, and to find out what happened, what went wrong, what the truth is. I mean, this is just trickling out as we speak here in Washington, D.C. I'll be on CBN News today later talking about our petition, actually, the amount of people who care. You know, when you hear Jay Carney say, this is old news, 75,000, over 75,000, you didn't think it was old news the last 48 hours. I know more people are out there. If you want to join our petition, absolutely free to do so. You call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. We need you to join. Listen, you think if the American people didn't care, there'd be these hearings? You know, you think if you just said, I don't care, I do think it's old news, there'd be these hearings? The truth was the American people wouldn't let this one go. And members of Congress wouldn't either. People don't like being lied to. They don't like cover-ups. In Washington, this is always the downfall. When you try to cover up, when you mess up. You know, if they would have come out and said, we did the wrong thing, this is what happened, we messed up, we didn't call the right resources in, it's a bad decision. They're elected officials. People could have made their decision on whether or not they wanted to re-elect them. People aren't perfect. But instead, a systematic decision to not tell the truth, that's very different than bad decisions or not the best decision looking back. And that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is a concerted effort to cover up the truth of what happened. I mean, these numbers that we're talking about, 60 attackers at one time? This does not gel with anything we've heard from the administration. Let's go right to the phones. Tom in Texas, line one. Tom, I know you've been holding on. We've been going back and forth to the hearing. What's your question for us?
I just have one simple question. If it's clear that the cover-up was, you know, in the sense for Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and the others, if it is clear that it's a total government cover-up and justice is completely served, what's the worst that could happen to Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and any of the others?
Well, I mean, you know, I'll go to David here. David, the first is obviously there is the immediate, the impact this has on their reputations. That's first. That's before you get to legal. And then there's the question of, does this hearing, which we don't know enough of yet. I mean, this literally started 30 minutes ago, the actual testimony from the three whistleblowers, whether or not that this would be criminal activity, the cover up here. And that a lot of that's based on knowledge and the intent. I mean, Susan Rice did not move on in her career because of editing the talking points. So to answer Tom's question, I think it'd be premature right now, but these can lead to real consequences, these kind of hearings.
Well, that's exactly right. Let's not forget that as recently as about a week ago, there were an awful lot of people who are ready to anoint Hillary Clinton as the next Democratic nominee for president of the United States and then immediately put her as front runner to become the next president. And I don't think people are saying that right now. So that is an enormous potential consequence. Regarding any criminal activity, you know, we'll just have to see what the evidence says. I mean, if there were people who lied under oath or lied to an accountability review board, there could be some real legal consequences there. But right now we're talking about political accountability. And I would say that Hillary Clinton's future as a potential president is hanging by a thread.
Yeah, well, you know, I think this is a disqualifier. 2-3 hour wait. 60-plus people. I mean, we're going to take more of your questions. We can come back from the break. We're going to go more to the hearing as well. But this is the worst of the worst of Washington right here. I'm looking at the picture of the four dead Americans. Can you save everyone in every fight? No, of course not. I mean, these are people who volunteered to serve in places that were tough. But we have all these resources. Your taxpayer dollars fund these counterterror teams and the rapid response team. This is what we pay for with tax money. So we pay for when we do those budgets for the State Department, Department of Defense. And to act as if they were just cast aside, they weren't listening to the experts here. Folks, it's why we need to hear from you. Over 75,000 people have already joined our petition to demand the truth. Let's get to the bottom of it. It's not about even the criminal consequences, potentially. It's about the truth for the families, about truth for all Americans. Call now. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Add your name to this petition seeking one thing, truth.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
right. The hearing is ongoing here in Washington, D.C. Many of you are holding on the line. I'm going to take one of your phone calls. We're going to go back to the hearing, take another call back to the hearing. Sandy in California, she's been holding on the longest. Sandy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you. I'm so angry this. I have a question. The Benghazi, Brett Baer had a special on Fox right after the incident. It was like 2 hours long, and I wrote every single word down that happened in that, and Andrew Woods, the commander-in-chief, was being interviewed. He told exactly what happened. He requested, he implored the State Department to let his unit stay because there had been uprisings prior to this attack, and he was given a denial of request. And then at 10.05 p.m., emails were sent to the White House stating U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi under attack. And those were ignored, so those are kind of denial of requests, I guess. And then Tyrone, in the annex, he called the White House and requested help because they were under attack. And he was dead in 6 hours, and nothing was sent, so that's another denial of request. My question is, when there's a denial of request occurring, doesn't it have to come, especially in war or under attack, from the commander-in-chief?
Well, I think it's an interesting question, Sandy. I want to get to, here's an interesting point. This is happening right now. Gregory Hicks is talking about that at 2 a.m. he finally got a call from Secretary Clinton asking what was going on. Now, as you just were talking about, Sandy, the 10 o'clock timeline, you know, does it have to come from the commander-in-chief? It's not a situation where you're declaring war necessarily. So this is what is interesting about this cover-up. Why is the White House willing to take part in something that may shed light on the bad decisions and bad actions of officials who are not the President of the United States or Vice President even, but people like Secretary Clinton, or were they directing it? Were they the reason why terrorism wasn't the word used? Were they the reason why we didn't get the truth? It wasn't all about politics. It was about politics if we don't want to recognize a terror attack. You know, going to your question, though, Sandy, this was, at this point, was a security issue. You know, it was not a declaration of war. We were already involved in Libya. We have these security teams around. And, you know, we've heard from already one witness that when he called the White House, they said they'd already taken these options off the table and already had meetings. Let's go back to Gregory Hicks now. He was the number two in Libya under Chris Stevens and then became acting chief of mission. Let's take a listen. This is the live congressional hearing in Washington, D.C.
First, she was taking a log of what we were doing. Then she was loading magazines, carrying our ammunition supply to our vehicles. Then she was smashing hard drives with an axe. Alan Greenfield, our management officer, was a whirlwind of activity, organizing the vehicles to lining them up, finding the drivers, making sure everybody was getting the things that they would need for the coming days. John Martinick was a mountain of moral support, particularly to the guys who were in Benghazi. He was on the phone talking them through the whole ordeal. David McFarland on the phone constantly, all the time, talking to his contacts in Benghazi, urging them to help. Lieutenant Colonel Phillips and Lieutenant Colonel Arndt, Lieutenant Colonel Gibson, mountains of strength. I'm awed. I'm still in awe of them.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to play more of the hearing, and we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Take a stand here. You see the emotional effects of this here. Two of the three witnesses in tears. And folks, it's because this is their friend. This was their job, and they were denied the ability to take action or to make decisions. Call now, add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255. We'll be right back.
The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Offline during the break. Have you ever looked out your window? Imagine that. You see 60 armed guys, okay? Different nationalities. Your window happens to be a U.S. building, so a part of the U.S. government. You know your location well. You've lived there. You've served there. You've spent time there. You think you even thought for a moment that that was spontaneous? Think anybody there thought for a moment this was spontaneous? You think we didn't know that there was some risk here when we had CIA annexes with small, you know, with armed teams ready to go? And as we were discussing here, the fact that it was 7 hours later that you had the two members of the security annex killed after they were trying to push these 60 terrorists from Al-Qaeda, with Al-Qaeda links, from all over the Middle East and North Africa, including ties to Yemen, that this was somehow spontaneous, and yet we had no assets that within 7 hours could have done anything. You know, RPGs. We're talking RPGs. We're talking 60 plus people storming buildings, and in a place where we've been, you know, actively engaged in fighting, in conflict, at least in the air. And so we had resources available, certainly within time. I want to go right to the hearing again. Gregory Hicks testifying now about the two security officials, the former Navy SEALs who were killed.
They carried Glenn's body and Tyrone's body down. One guy, about Mark's size, full combat gear, climbed up there, strapped David Ubben, who's a large man, to his back, carried him down the ladder, saved him. In Tripoli, we had the defense attaché had persuaded the Libyans to fly their C-130 to Benghazi. We wanted to airlift. Since we had consolidated at the annex and the Libyan government had now provided us with external security around our facilities, we wanted to send further reinforcements to Benghazi. we determined that Lieutenant Colonel Gibson and his team of Special Forces troops should go. The people in Benghazi had been fighting all night. They were tired, they were exhausted. They wanted to make sure the airport was secure for their withdrawal. As Colonel Gibson and his three personnel were getting in the cars, he stopped and he called them off and said, told me that he had not been authorized to go. The vehicles had to go because the flight needed to go to Benghazi. Lieutenant Colonel Gibson was furious. I had told him to go bring our people home. That's what he wanted to do. Paid me a very nice compliment. I won't repeat it here. So the plane went. I think it landed in Benghazi around 7:30. The other thing that we did was, and I want to mention Jackie Levesque's name in this hearing. She was our nurse. We'd initially thought that she should go to Benghazi. One of the Special Forces with Lieutenant Colonel Gibson's team was our last military trained medic available. He had a broken foot in a cast.
This is Gregory Hicks. Again, you're listening to the live hearings, Capitol Hill, Benghazi. This was the deputy head of our mission, the charged affairs in Libya at the time Chris Stevens, Ambassador Stevens, was killed. So he became the head, the top U.S. official in Libya during this time. And when it was under attack, he became the head. And as you just heard another story, the defense attaché for at our embassy in Tripoli was ready to go airlift and lead the airlift out of Benghazi. We were cooperating with the Libyan government, with the security forces, with the plane. We got the C-130, got the airport, made sure that our people would get out safely, and was called off. Okay, so a number of times we've already heard today people ready to act in tough situations because that's their job, and the U.S. government, the White House, State Department's top officials, calling them off. Now, this is why we've got drones showing what's happening. There is no one, folks, who can act as if we didn't know what was going on the ground. Okay, that doesn't happen anymore. We have, especially in places where we've actively been engaged in fighting, especially through the air. And this is what was happening in Libya at the time. These are special operations, former Navy SEALs who are now, State Department, CIA, security officials for these compounds we have as the U.S. government. What's the point of having these compounds if you can't secure them? What's the point of having all of these rapid response teams if they can't engage to the extent that they are able to? I want to go right now. This is the ranking member, Elijah Cummings, the top Democrat on the committee. This should be interesting. Let's see his response now.
But this being that, the ambassador's body.
It looks right now Fox is not gone to him yet. We do want to hear, I think, his comments. I'll follow that to see if they focus on him, because I'd like to know if he is taking a serious track with this or, okay, let's go to it now.
Around the world, in foreign places, trying to make a difference. And as I listened to your testimony, I could not help but think about something that I said very recently, 2 years ago now, in a eulogy for a relative. I said that death is a part of life. But so often we have to find a way to make life a part of death. And I guess the reason why I'm saying that, I want to go back to something Mr. Nordstrom said when he said that he wanted to make sure that and you, all of you have said it pretty much. We want to make sure we learn from this so that your comrades and our four members of the diplomatic corps who sadly passed away, so that this never happens again. And I appreciate it. I know this is difficult. I know it is. We all feel your pain. And so I just want to...
This is filibustering, folks. And I don't mean to sound nasty about that, but this whole feel your pain, no, you don't. You're a congressman who just called it a conspiracy. You know, they don't like what they're hearing because it makes Democrats look bad. And we don't, I'm only getting ultra-partisan here, but let's be honest. The Democrats really messed up on this. Why did they mess up? They didn't ask the questions. They are members of Congress. They shouldn't like being lied to. Okay, they're going to have to answer their constituents. But they every one of them is just as guilty. They went along with these talking points. Susan Rice and these people should not still even have jobs. Okay, they should not be able to represent you know, our country in any way. And probably the entire team surrounding them. Okay, if you know this kind of information and you go along with it and it comes out, I mean, this is a serious issue. Playing politics with lives, playing politics with national security, playing politics with terrorism. You understand that? Playing politics with Al-Qaeda. That's what this administration is guilty of. And how much more evidence do we need? It's like in Washington, this is not an anonymous report, folks. These are people who have dedicated their whole lives to these jobs, these careers. They did not want to be testifying today. This was not what they planned to do in their careers. That one day I will give congressional testimony condemning what I have served for 20-plus years and the system that operated under it. You know, that our government doesn't have the guts even to come out and say we screwed up, that we made bad decisions, which happens, and people get to make choices. I mean, it's politics. We should know as much of the truth as we can so that you get to make educated decisions. American people obviously do care, and the fact is, you listen to this, doesn't seem like this is old news to any of these individuals. They're still crying over it. All right, this is not their families. Call now if you want to add your name to our petition. It's 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. The Benghazi hearings have started here in Washington, D.C. Three whistleblowers. Take more of your calls when we get back. That's 1-800-684-3110. Add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. The American people deserve answers. The American people deserve the truth. For months now, we have had conflicting accounts of what happened during the terrorist attack at our consulate in Benghazi, Libya. We still don't know the facts that resulted in the assassination of our U.S. ambassador and three other Americans. The Obama administration has done little to shed light on what happened and why. Now Congress is actively investigating this brutal attack, working to get the facts, to cut through the political maneuvering, to tell the American people exactly what happened and why. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to JSEC, You're Live. We are going to try to take some of your phone calls right now. The Benghazi hearings are underway. We've been, most of the show, full hour today, we've been dedicated to playing that sound, commenting, coming back and forth. Already the bombshells. We're talking 60-plus people now, we've been told. 60-plus people who were in this compound. We've got, this has become very partisan. Let's listen to Elijah Cummings actually right now. He is trying. He's still walking the administration's line here. He's the ranking Democrat, the top-ranking Democrat on the Government Reform and Oversight Committee. Take a listen.
Wing fighters with associated tanking, armaments, targeting, and support capabilities were not in the vicinity of Libya, and because of the distance, would have taken at least 9 to 12 hours, if not more, to deploy.
That doesn't seem accurate based off what we know about our engagement in Libya. That there was nothing available with 9 hours. We've got ships off the coast of Libya. And let's listen to the answer right now. This is, again, Gregory Hicks.
Fighter aircraft in Aviano would not be able to be over Benghazi for 2 to 3 hours.
Mr. That's Cummings.
What I'm going on, yep. What the defense attaché told me.
Thank you,
here we have Gregory Hicks saying 2 to 3 hours, which would have saved the two individuals, the former Navy SEALs, the special ops team there. 2 to 3 hours. He is saying, disagreeing, saying, no, it could have been fixed wing, could have been there 2 to 3 hours. Again, you've got Elijah Cummings, the ranking Democrat, Congressman Cummings, saying, you know, the Defense Department said it's 9 to 12 hours. 9 to 12 hours, David French, who's in our armed forces. Is there anywhere in the world we can't get to in less than 9 to 12 hours?
That is unbelievable. I mean, there's two responses to that. One, my first response was that's complete and total garbage. Fighter jets can scramble and move 500 miles in certainly less than 9 to 12 hours. And if he's actually telling the truth that we were so unprepared that fighters could not move 500 miles in 9 to 12 hours, that is a scandal I want to know about, because we spend $600 to $700 billion a year on defense. And if we can't even get people in an F-16 500 miles in 12 hours, what are we spending our money on? So it's either a scandal that we're unprepared or it's a scandal that we failed. That's not a defense.
You know, and folks, this is why these hearings are very important. I'm going to take your phone calls now. We're going to go to those of you who've been holding on one by one. Mary Ellen, Illinois, line 2. Mary Ellen, welcome to JSEC Live.
Oh, hi, Jordan. As I listen to this wonderful testimony, I'm thinking to myself, in comparison to the Fast and Furious, what can we expect more out of this in comparison to what happened out of Fast and Furious?
Well, this is a situation where you have not only people that were killed, which Fast and Furious there were, the Border Patrol agent, Brian Terry, but here you've got a lot of people who are on the ground and involved. And so instead of a program that was a kind of top secret drug program to target these cartels, this is happening very public in very real time. In the sense that you're talking to the deputy chief of the mission, the number two to Stevens, who was on the phone with him before he was killed. Okay, as the he calls him and says, Gregory, we're under attack. So it's a different situation. You're getting evidence from the people who were living it. And it's not just about the cover-up. It's about the decisions that were made. So it's a two-part, I think, investigation. The decisions that were made. Why are we being told right now that 9 to 12 hours to scramble fixed wing when our defense attaché there told the deputy head of mission, there's no reason not to trust what he is saying. We have not heard anything to not trust that. Told him 2 to 3 hours, which seems a little long, honestly. I mean, but let's say we were fairly unprepared to get these jets scrambled, but not 9 to 12 hours unprepared. That's half a day. That's an entire working day, 12 hours. I mean, you know, we've got assets. This is Libya. You've got to remind yourself where this is. First of all, we were actively engaged, and NATO was well there in fighting through the air. But also, it's not far from Italy. We've got bases there. We've got bases throughout Europe. I mean, this is not sub-Saharan Africa we're talking about. This is on the Mediterranean. So, again, folks, I think we demand the truth here, and that's what we're beginning to see now. If you want to join our petition, it's 877-989-2255. I'm going to take more calls. The hearing's ongoing. Anastasia, Texas, line one.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air, Anastasia.
Yes, I realize the three witnesses of the Benghazi hearing, that they're not only heroes and that their employment is definitely under jeopardy, but possibly their lives are at stake due to their possible testimony. My question is this. Are these witnesses, as well as their family members, being offered protection?
Well, you know, it's an interesting situation. Some have been said they're intimidated. I'll go to Than Bennett. There have been questions about the intimidation here and security. These are currently all U.S. officials. They are still part of the U.S. government.
Yeah, that's right. And it took 8 months for them to feel confident enough to come before Congress. There's no doubt that delay was due to the fact that the State Department and the administration were trying to keep them from coming forward. I would say this, Jordan, I don't know about physical security, but I think it's abundantly clear that they're putting their careers on the line today, their reputations on the line. But here's why they're doing it. They're doing it, especially in the case of Greg Hicks. He lost not only a colleague, he lost a personal friend, and I think he's personally offended. You heard him testify that Chris Stevens called him, and he notified the State Department, and yet 7 hours later, they lost two more people, two more friends, when help didn't come. So I think he's at the point where, even at the risk of personal jeopardy, career jeopardy, he's going to come forward and tell the truth.
All right, folks, I'm going to try to take more of your phone calls now. Though, let's go back to the we've got Congressman Trey Gowdy. He's making kind of a statement. You know, I'll go back to when, if we've got the questions coming in, because people have been holding on to ask their questions too. Bruce in Arizona, line six. Bruce, talk to us here on the air.
How you doing, Jordan?
Hey, we're good. Thanks for calling, Bruce.
Hey, listen, I don't think there's any difference between what happened in Benghazi and what happened with Pat Tillman. Nothing but lying, bureaucratic people. And what my question would be is, what does the American people have to do to get rid of these people, prosecute them, so the up-and-coming new politicians don't get away with doing the same thing?
You know what? I think this is an example. You know, I want to make clear one thing, Bruce, different than the past. And I'm going to grab another phone call. We only got a minute left. But, Bruce, thanks for holding on. I think it's a great question. These are all bureaucrats talking right now. So I don't want to disparage all bureaucrats. And though I've not always been happy about bureaucracy or the State Department for that matter, all bureaucrats you cannot disparage. These are bureaucrats who are brave. So it's bureaucracy. And also, this came from the top, folks. I'm going to take Janet. We got 40 seconds, Janet, but you've been holding on the line in Florida. Line three, Janet, you're on the air.
Hi. I know this is a little off the subject, but I had gotten another email today about Pastor Saeed.
Sure.
My question is this. I don't remember the exact particulars of years ago when there was a case like this, and Clinton sent over Jesse Jackson, and he went, and I know that there were some people, I don't remember the details, but they...
I think you may be talking about North Korea, some of those situations. A little different with Iran, where we have extremely strained ties. But, Janet, we'll talk about that more. Of course, you think about Saeed. Look at what's happened here with four dead Americans in this situation. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice now and support this congressional investigation. It's time President Obama quit waffling on this issue. It's time the facts come out and the American people get the truth about what happened in Libya. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.